Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Thanks for listening to our show. We appreciate it. Mark Killian here alongside Bree Reyes and Tim Estes, investor coach and certified financial planners at Estes Financial Services, serving you in the Metroplex from their office in Fort Worth. Anytime you have questions or concerns, by now you should know what to do, but you can reach out to the team at 817-444-8402. That's your number to call. Always check with a qualified professional before you take any action. And so again, if you hear something useful on the podcast and you want more information, give them a jingle at 817-444-8402. And you can check them out online at estesfinancial.net. That is estesfinancial.net, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Bree, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Doing fabulous.
Awesome. Good to talk with you again. Thanks for having me back on the show with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, I love it when you join me.
Thank you so much. Hey, so what's been going on since the last time I talked to you? Anything fun to talk about?
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of fun stuff for today's show, but I've got to tell you a story.
Go for it.
So we work with a lot of federal employees, and so we have a federal employee business coach that we go see, and it just so happened our workshop or our training with our federal employee business coach happened in Chicago. And my sister, who is dutifully rewriting her, what do you call that? I guess it'd be a thesis. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, okay. She's getting a doctorate in early childhood development.
Probably
so
a thesis,
she's had to rewrite this paper like 17 times. And we convinced her to go with us to the workshop.
Okay.
And so we turned it into a daddy-daughter's, two out of the three, daddy-daughter's business trip to Chicago.
Okay.
So what would happen is dad and I would go, you know, during 8 to 5 to our training every day, and my sister would run around Chicago and do all the cool, fun things and go to the Art Institute of Chicago and go to the Shedd Aquarium and go to one or two of the zoos and do her little trip to Chicago.
Yeah, sounds like she got the better of the deal.
Yeah, really. She kind of did. But no, I mean, we always love recurrent training, especially on federal employee retirement systems, because it does change. And so we enjoyed it. But we meet back together for dinner. And one of the things we had, one of the first nights we were there, of course, dad required us to go get good Chicago deep dish pizza. It wasn't really a requirement. He asked and we immediately said, yes, we're going. And we ended up getting a 10-pound pizza.
Holy, for three people.
For three people.
Holy moly. That's, now, that is one deep dish pizza.
In our defense, we took the leftovers back to our rooms. We had fridges and microwaves in our rooms, and we did eat them. Later on. But yeah, no, we ended up, it was a dinner that we haven't really just had since we're adults, like good dad time one-on-one without our mom. Don't get me wrong. I love mom. I love you. I know you're my number one fan, my number one listener. We love you dearly. But we laughed so hard at that dinner, we ended up crying. It was a fabulous, fun daddy-daughter trip.
Well, that's awesome. Very cool. And obviously, clearly, the pizza was good, because not only did you eat it, you know, then, but you ate some more later. So,
oh yeah,
can't go wrong with it. 10-pound pizza. Was it, you know, like a really wide one as well as deep, since it's Chicago, or just?
It was maybe 18 inches across.
Wow,
16
I'm just. Yeah, I mean, 10 pounds. I'm just like, trying to visualize that, you know.
Well, and we are veggie people, okay. So like it was a meat pizza, and my sister's like, hey, all the veggies that you put on the usual supreme, add those too.
just so we can feel a little bit better about what we're doing here.
And the guy looked at us. He's like, really, you want veggies on top of all the meats? And we look at us going, yes, we do. Please.
Yes, we do.
Please.
There you go. Well, very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. Actually, my daughter is graduating from Navy boot camp up in Chicago area. Yeah, in Great Lakes. Yep, at the first week of August there. So my wife and I will be up there. So I'll have to go look for that 10-pound pizza.
It was at, where did we go? Grimaldi's. Yeah,
Grimaldi's.
We went to Grimaldi's.
Okay.
There's a very big Chicago deep dish pizza fight,
right,
almost.
Right.
And Grimaldi's is not necessarily my favorite. I'm choosing to keep my personal favorite out of the mix because of the fact that it is so controversial. But that was the one closest to our hotel. So,
well,
you know,
I will put that on our list of stuff to check out. But thanks for sharing. That's very cool. Well, listen, you mentioned the federal employees thing. So let's talk about that. We've got some myths surrounding federal employee pay raises and the retiree COLAs. So what have you got for us on this?
Yeah, today's theme of the show is kind of federal employees, federal and state employees. Yeah. There's quite a few different myths surrounding pay raises and retiree COLAs. And people love it when their paychecks and their pensions go up. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I mean, heck, I love it. But in our work with all the federal employees and federal retirees, we often get questions about the different types of pay, the different types of pay raises, and retiree cost of living adjustments, or COLAs. You'll hear me refer to it as COLA, but it really is a cost of living adjustment. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about a couple of different types of pay. So this is for workers. If you are a current federal employee, your first type of pay is regular pay. It's what's on the normal pay table. Then you've got something called locality pay. And this is really cool. It is a geographic adjustment based off where the federal employee lives or their job is located. So how that works is, like, in more expensive cities like New York or Chicago, stuff like that, the employees living there are going to receive more pay to account for the higher cost of living in the area.
Sure, makes sense.
Makes sense, right?
Right.
So regular pay and locality pay get added together, and that's what's displayed on the pay tables in each of those geographic areas. So when you are a working federal employee, you've got a couple of different ways your paychecks can go up. The first is if you get a promotion, obviously.
Right.
Now you've got more work and hopefully you're getting paid more for it.
Right.
But that's kind of the number one way. The second way is you can get a step increase or a within grade increase. Those can happen a little bit more rare than just the promotion type thing, but they exist.
Right.
And then the third way, and this is the one that most people think of and people outside the federal employee world know pretty well, and that's your annual pay increase.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of, that's the main one that comes along. Now, this is where I get a lot of questions. The annual pay increase, which quite frankly makes the news around December-ish of the year, the fall, it is only applied to federal employees who are currently working. So that doesn't get doesn't apply to federal retirees. I've had people think that they get that pay increase too. They do not get the annual pay raise. And these pay raises for federal employees, working federal employees, can be very political. Quite frankly, being a federal employee in today's society can be very political.
Very true.
Lots of talk at the beginning of the year about politics and your job.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to get into it other than to say that the pay raises, the annual federal employee pay raises, aren't set in stone. They're not guaranteed.
Right.
If the economy is doing well, you're not, a federal worker is not guaranteed to get a raise. And this lack of predictability for pay raises leaves a lot of people uncertain. A lot of times when they're looking at the national budget, the easiest thing to cut or the first thing to cut is federal employee benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear this over and over and over again. I know every Fed has heard this over and over and over again. And the reason why is because you guys work for the biggest employer in the nation, the federal government. And when they're looking at expenses within the federal government, the first place they look is their employees.
That's like the place to chop it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a private company. The first place they look at cutting their expenses is their employees.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing.
Yep.
And the reason that I say it is not guaranteed is in 2011, 2012, and 2013, there were no annual pay increases for federal workers.
Okay.
So
right.
Think about this. They're still living. The cost of stuff is getting more and more expensive.
Inflation's there,
Inflation's happening,
yep.
Right? And they are not getting, for those 3 years in a row, 11, 12, and 13, they didn't get a pay increase at all.
Boy, big fun.
Yeah, it really, really affects what they have going on. And like I said, with the pay raises for federal working employees, it's incredibly political. And usually they're determined at the end of the given year, and then they're applied like the January coming up.
Right, I got you. Okay.
So for federal employees, this is something you want to pay attention to. And it may be a reason to start getting politically active and start calling people toward the end of the year, because you want to make sure that pay raise is there for you. Otherwise, your money is getting eaten by inflation every year. So just a thought. And the 10-year average on those pay raises is only 0.93%.
So over 10 years, they went up just not quite a percent.
Less than a percent.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. It's really hard to think about when you're a federal employee, but it's something you got to be considerate about. Now, retirees, federal retirees are a completely different story. And it's good or bad. It's up to you to think about it. But you have a completely different set of rules as far as how your check changes each year. To be clear, you don't get the annual pay raise I just described. Those are only for working employees.
Right.
Gotcha. For retirees, you either get a CSRS or a FERS, F-E-R-S, pension. And that pension changes over time based on specific economic conditions. And that increase of pension is known as a cost of living adjustment, or COLA. And the cool thing about the COLA is it takes the political nature out of the equation. There's a formula to get to the COLA number. Now, granted, occasionally this comes up in politics, but it really, really shouldn't. There's a formula to get the number. So in order to figure out that calculation and why it's different, because it's different for different retirees, it's different for CSRS or CSRS than it is for FERS retirees. And how they figure it out and how the calculation, the form is very interesting. But they use a number that comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers. And okay. If you want to look this up, it's the CPI-W. And so basically what they're looking at is the Bureau of Labor Statistics is looking at a basket of consumer goods, be it gasoline, transportation, food, just kind of basically what you buy in a given week. And it's determining how much the cost of those goods are changing over time. And it looks at how much the economy's changed. And so it's a percentage. It comes out as a percentage. And that's the percentage that is used to determine the change in a federal retiree's pension check. So that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But since they have two different retirement systems, the CSRS or the CSRS and the FERS, the way that that COLA is applied to both groups once they're retired is very, very differently. So FERS typically get a variation of the number that CSRS gets. CSRS will get this whatever the CPI-W number is. They just get it outright. FERS tend to get a lower number. So a lot of times in class, if you come to our retirement training classes, you're going to hear about CSRS getting COLA and FERS getting diet COLA. Because they don't get the full thing. Or leaded and unleaded. I use a gas.
There you go.
There you go. But over the last 10 years, CSRS have had an increase of about 1.6% each year, which is a heck of a lot more than that annual pay increase we heard for the workers, for the federal workers. And FERS, they get about 1.36 a year. So see, they're getting a diet version of that COLA. And I want to say that retirees always receive COLA, but the 10-year average is actually a lot lower. Some years, there's no change in the consumer price index, that CPI-W. Does that make sense?
Right. Gotcha. I'm following you.
So in 2010 and 2011, the retirees didn't get a change. So they didn't get any increase in their paycheck.
So it's just flat across the board.
Flat across the board. Basically okay. Flat across the board for everybody.
Right. But for everybody. Right.
At least in 13, the retirees got a pay raise or a change in their paycheck. And then the workers did not, the employed federal employees. Then the biggest question we get this pretty much every day when we work with federal employees, is do you get locality pay as a retiree? And I love and hate this question, because the answer is a technical no.
Okay,
and the reason I say it's technical no is the high three, and federal employees will know what the high three is, but it's their highest 3 years of earnings, and that's what they use to calculate a pension.
Gotcha.
The high three does include locality pay. If you live in a place, if you earned it during those high 3 years. So for example, you worked in New York for your high three, and New York had locality pay. Then your high three calculation is going to include locality pay.
Okay.
But if your high 3 years were in a location that doesn't have locality pay, then your high three that goes into figuring out your pension doesn't have locality pay.
Interesting. It can give you a little bit of a yeah, it can give you a little bit of a headache too when you start trying to think about some of this, right?
Well, what kills me is people who work in an area that has locality pay in their high three is awesome because it's set. It's set once the pension is formulated that they'll get that locality pay in there. Mm-hmm. So then they can move somewhere with a lower cost of living and still get that locality pay.
Right.
The issue that I see, and I see in it time and time again, is people, federal employees who retire and their high three doesn't include locality, and then they move somewhere more expensive that has a higher cost of living than the place they just lived or retired from. They don't get extra money for that. Where you choose to live in retirement is up to you.
Very interesting. And a little confusing.
A little confusing, really interesting. But the bottom line is, if you are a federal employee working right now, your pay raises are incredibly political and they're not guaranteed. If you are a retiree receiving a federal pension, either COLA or Diet COLA, FERS or Diet COLA, then you need to look at the Consumer Price Index /W to determine whether your pension is going to get an increase for the year.
Well, I imagine that, and obviously, you know, we've talked about it many times on the show, that a lot of what you guys do here is you do help a lot of people in the federal, you do a lot of work with federal employees. So sitting down, again, I guess having a conversation with folks like yourselves to try to make sure we kind of have heads or tails of this is a good idea.
It really is. And we are offering a 2-meeting complimentary federal employee or retiree retirement assessment to kind of explain this to you one-on-one. And what that is the first meeting is just kind of sit down, talk to you, get to know you, get to know your situation. You can get to know us and ask us all the questions you want. And then the second meeting is we do a full retirement assessment and we talk about things like, well, the pension COLAs and diet COLAs and your high three and where you've lived and how much the federal benefits are going to cost in retirement and different strategies and whether you get Social Security or you don't, just all kinds of different things. So it's a complimentary, Tim's favorite word, free, 2-meeting process. And right. If you're interested in it, you're a federal employee or a federal retiree and you want to take advantage of it, give our office a call, 817-444-8402, and we'd love to sit down and talk with you.
Yes, if you got some questions surrounding the kind of the topic today, which was some of these myths around the federal employee pay raises or the retiree COLAs, and you want to take advantage of this retirement assistance, this complimentary federal retirement assistance that Bree's talking about here, reach out and give them a shout at 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. And of course, you can also share this information, share the podcast with others as well. And don't forget, as always, to subscribe it and like to it. We always appreciate those as well. Well, a couple more quick things, Bree, before we wrap up for this week. Let's change gears, have a little fun, and we'll do a quick little getting to know you and then an email question. I think we can squeeze that in. Let's see. Getting to know you. Who's the best cook you know?
Hands down, my brother, Andy, my half brother.
Whoa, you didn't even hesitate.
Yeah, no. Dad's a close second. Tim is a close second.
Okay.
Tim Estes is a fabulous cook, ladies and gentlemen, and don't let him, breakfast especially. Dad is really good on breakfasts and grilling. But my half brother, Andy, can whip up. In fact, during that visit to Chicago, Amanda and I had dinner with him, and he whipped up stuffed chicken breasts. What was it? Goat cheese stuffed herb and goat cheese stuffed chicken breasts. And his fiance, the lovely Katie, who actually teaches school at the Great Lakes Base.
Wow. Awesome.
Made homemade risotto. We were so spoiled. My sister and I were like, what?
I know, you're making me hungry. All this talk today, pizza and goat stuffed chicken. I'm starving now.
Yeah, no. Andy did not grow up as a foodie. His parents are not foodies, not like Dad and Julie. So he didn't grow up that way, but he has become a foodie, and hands down, I would eat at their house any day of the week. Now, they don't necessarily make healthy things all the time, so I would regret it, but I would do it in a heartbeat.
Right, right. All right. Well, there you go. That was pretty quick and easy. So Andy, the brother, is hands down, but Tim's pulling in a close second. All right. Well, let's finish up this week's program before I continue to stay hungry with one more thing. Email question from Abe. Abe says, Bree, I'm being forced into an early retirement at 57 from my job at the state. I'll have a pension, but that alone will not be enough to live on. Do I need to find another job source since I'm too young still for Social Security and to withdraw from my IRAs? He's 57.
Oh, yes, you are, Abe. You are too young. congratulations.
Yeah, but you got two more years.
Yeah, you got a little bit of time. Maybe this is the time that you figure out what your passions are and maybe find a side project, a side hustle, as the young kids call it.
Right. Yep.
You know, driving for Uber or substitute teaching or something crazy and wonderful. I always support that. At the same time, maybe look and see if there's any way you can take money out of your retirement plan, not necessarily an IRA, but hear me out, your retirement plan, be it a TSP or what it is, and see if there's any loophole to the age 59 and a half 10% penalty. And then look at your outside investments. Look at what you have outside and maybe see if there's a way to cut your expenses or see how you can subsidize. I'm not necessarily saying you have to go back to work immediately, but it might be something you want to look at. But maybe you follow a passion project or consult or do something wild and crazy like substitute teach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of times we get questions like these. A lot of it's going to come down to the math. You know, sit down, have a conversation, get a review done, take a look at the numbers and see what the numbers say. And you may find that you're in pretty good shape, better shape than you thought, or, you know, you may find that you do need to do a side hustle. And boy, the Uber thing really has become super popular, hasn't it? So many people enjoy doing that, especially retirees. It's like, well, and they've been retired or a little bit, they kind of like get bored or want some, you know, someone to talk to, and they'll go drive. It's become very popular. So
it is. When we went up to Chicago, that's all we did was Uber.
Yeah, it's become incredibly popular. Well, I tell you what, a great question. Think about it. Give Bree a call if you got some questions or concerns. 817-444-8402. 817-444-8402. As always, folks, go and check them out online at estesfinancial.net. That is estesfinancial.net. Check out the blog. Check out the podcast. Subscribe to past episodes, future episodes, all that good kind of stuff. And we look forward to talking to Bree the next time. Thanks, dear, for your time. I appreciate it. Hope you have a great week.
Thanks. This has been a great show. And everybody go out and lead an abundant life.